Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Jim Williams, the director of the U.S. Visit Program at the Department of Homeland Security. And joining us in our conversation is Todd Wiseman.
Jim, how does U.S. Visit work, and what is the procedure, and what can a visitor expect when he or she is entering and exiting the U.S.?
Well, first of all, it can start when people first apply for a visa overseas. And when they apply for that visa, it's the same procedure that you'll see at an airport or seaport or even at our land border crossings. The visitor, if they're a non-immigrant visa person or a visa waiver person, those people are currently included in U.S. Visit, they're asked to take a few extra seconds to put their first left index finger scan, right index finger scan, and again, it's electronic fingerprint, and also take a digital photograph. That goes on during the normal inspection when the people are coming into the country. We've estimated that it takes about 10 to 12 seconds to do that. After they put down their finger scans and they're recorded, the inspector continues the interview and they press send and those fingerprints are checked against our watch list. Our watch list is updated daily with additional fingerprints from the FBI. And within 5 seconds, the inspector has his computer screen either blinks green, no hit, or it blinks red, meaning it looks like it's a match against a fingerprint that we have on our watch list. And it's really that simple. But we also enroll people so that we record their fingerprints and attach them to their identity. So if Jim Williams comes into Dulles Airport 1 week and we take the fingerprints and enroll those as Jim Williams' fingerprints, then the next time the person comes around, we just do a one-to-one match against the fingerprints we already have. We also take those fingerprints that are in our database, what I would call the good guy database, the people who have been enrolled, and we run them continuously against our bad guy database. And in fact, we have instances where we've gotten hits of people who have come into the country legitimately, but then we've had an update of fingerprints from the FBI or from other sources that are in our watch list that then indicate the person is a hit, and we alert our immigration and customs enforcement people who go out and find the person.
You've described the biometric capabilities and the system around that. How accurate is that technology today?
Fingerprints are very accurate. Our accuracy rate today is 96%, and that means when, say, we already have somebody's fingerprints either in our database and we get a fingerprint, we can match it 96% of the time. There are certain people who fall out of that. People, frankly, don't have fingers. But where we do have a false positive, that's where the screen blinks red because it looks like a match. Those are fingerprints are immediately, within a second or so, sent to a human fingerprint examiner who can tell whether it really is a match or whether it's a false positive, meaning it's a good person, it wasn't the bad person we were looking for. They can clear those up within about 3 minutes.
Is there other kind of information captured in addition to the biometrics? And if so, how is that information used?
Well, prior to U.S. visit, biographic information was collected. As, for example, if you're flying here from Heathrow in London, the airlines are, most of them are sending us electronic manifests of who's on the plane. And those electronic manifests that are usually sent 15 minutes after wheels up are checked against a biographical set of watch lists. That's about 26 different watch lists combined into one that will then tell us, is there a biographic or date of birth or passport number hit on that particular information? And if there is, when the person arrives at, say, Dulles Airport and their passport or visa is red, it will then identify, has that record been flagged as being a biographic hit? Combining it with the biometrics, though, biometrics helps do a better job of confirming identity. We had a person who had come into the country. He was a convicted rapist, and we were looking for this person. And we realized after catching him that he had come into the country using 9 different aliases, 4 different dates of birth. And another hit we had about the same time was a person from Jamaica wanted for drug smuggling, clearly an aggravated drug trafficker. And that person, we found out, had come into the country 60 times in the previous 4 years. And we know that people can buy fake passports and false identities. And what our Chief Privacy Officer, Nuala O'Connor-Kelly, says, when you use biometrics, it doesn't take away your privacy. It protects your privacy. It protects you from identity theft because nobody else can use your fingerprints.
You touched upon it, but if you could just repeat, or if you left out, who exactly is required to enroll in the program?
Today, it's anybody from any country that requires a visa to come to the United States, or anybody who comes under what's called the Visa Waiver Program. That's a program where people from 27 countries like England, France, Germany, Japan, Australia can travel to the United States for business or pleasure for up to 3 months, and they do not need to go to the State Department to get a visa. But we did, starting last September 30th, include those people in the program because it's so easy, it's quick, and it enhances security. And in fact, we surveyed many travelers, and the vast, vast majority of them say they don't mind. In fact, they tell us they feel safer. We're hoping that part of what we see in a recent upswing in travel and tourism is due to the fact that people feel safer in traveling. And as one Customs and Border Protection officer out of Dulles told me, when people ask him, why am I doing this, he says, it's to protect you. And in fact, it does.
Can you tell us about the deployment schedule, where you are and what the plans are?
Sure, Paul. We first deployed according to the number one congressional mandate to be at the airports and seaports. And we did that at 115 airports and 14 seaports for entry. And that started January 5th, 2004. And we met the date. We were ready to go at the end of 2003. But there was a request from the private sector to delay the live implementation until we get over the weekend, the New Year's holiday weekend, which we did, even though we were ready to go. So we met that date on time. We also began pilot testing exit at the airports, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Our next goal was to be at the 50 busiest land ports of entry, and this is a congressionally mandated goal, by the end of 2004. We actually met that ahead of schedule. We started implementing November 15th, and we finished December 29th, so we were ahead of schedule. And I'm pleased to say we've met all of our dates set by Congress, and I think that's important to maintain credibility. We've also begun pilot testing exit at airports, and what that means is if you're leaving out of, say, Dulles Airport or National, you're taking an international flight. Today, you go to the ticket counter, the e-ticket booth, you go to the TSA screening, and you go to the gate. There is no checkout of this country, and that's different from other countries. If you leave through, say, Tokyo or Poland or somewhere, you actually check out. You actually go into a separate physical part of the airport, and you go through a checkout procedure. The United States doesn't have that, but in order to have integrity in our immigration system, as the President said, we want to know when people are leaving, and that's how you ensure integrity, that people follow the rule of law and the terms of their admission. So we've been trying to pilot test the biometric collection for people when they leave the country. And we do that through using two different pieces of equipment that we're pilot testing. One is a kiosk. It looks like an ATM machine. You can actually see one in BWI Airport right now. And the other is through a mobile handheld device, and we use that in two different ways. But generally, it's a device that was built for us that takes fingerprints, takes photographs, and also can read the machine-readable part of your passport. And that's the letters that are at the bottom that are in a special font so they can be machine-read. I will tell you another thing we did as part of this, and this is something we did in conjunction with the Department of State, was when we first deployed this, we wanted to better link databases. What Congress said was better link databases so that people have the best information they can at their fingertips. And we put in for the first time a capability when that machine-readable zone of the passport or visa is read. For the first time, the picture that was taken overseas by the State Department pops up on the screen, the picture of that traveler. And that allows us to see when people have photo sub passports, meaning they've taken the photo of the legitimate person off and they've substituted their passport. And in fact, in one case, the photo popped up, the woman appeared on the screen, and in front of the inspector was a man. So there was clearly a photo sub passport. And our eventual goal is to improve upon that capability. And we're like any other information system where our goal is to get the right information to the right people at the right time to make the right decision. And we're trying to build in our next implementations the capability to build a database that has that information that is necessary for either a visa issuing officer at state, a citizenship and immigration services adjudication officer, customs and border protection, or immigration customs enforcement agent. Anybody who encounters that traveler should have all the information about that traveler. That helps good people get processed easier, and it also stops bad people, because everybody who has to make a decision about that traveler should have all of that information at their fingertips. And we link together databases, but we really want to build a composite of all of the information that should be available to those people for the future.
You talked about leaving the country and how other countries have an exit system. Where will VISIT put us in terms of the way other countries think about this problem?
Well, we've been very pleased to see that other countries have followed us in some sense and have been building out their immigration border management system. We are pleased to see that the EU announced for their visitor information system that they will also be taking fingerprints, digital index finger scans, and digital photographs. The Japanese recently announced for their visitor system that they were going to model it after U.S. visit. I believe England recently announced that they will also be taking fingerprints and photographs of people coming in. And we think it's important that all countries do what we do, and we follow their lead in many cases, which is strengthen our immigration border management systems, but do it in a way that follows standards. And that's what we have done, is followed international standards as we've implemented this program. And we think that's important, because the way you can start to harmonize global travel is to follow standards. So we've been very pleased that other countries have come to us many times and wanted to find out more about our program, and in fact wanted to replicate it in their countries. And again, that is something that can only help good people travel easier. And our ultimate goal is to be able to expedite those legitimate people. But it also helps for us in the collective war against terrorism. It is really a war that every country has to fight. And the best thing we can do is fight it together.
That's a powerful point about standards. What other agencies are working with DHS on U.S. Visit, and how are they collaborating? We'll ask Jim Williams, Director of U.S. Visit, take us through this when the Business of Government Hour continues.